This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
University of Arkansas going from SEC to SEC. Doesn't happen that often. Doesn't happen that often, but he went from Kentucky to Arkansas.
Did you ever think that you'd be hearing or thinking about John Calipari in Arkansas?
I did not. As a fellow Italian, you know, I don't think you see too many Italians in Arkansas, but, you know.
You got to ask him, has he found a good spot?
Italian food? That's right. Absolutely.
A good Italian spot. And who's been to Arkansas? I have.
The school?
You went to the Springs.
Hot Springs a couple times.
Hot Springs.
I love it.
And how is the state and the school?
I think, look, I used to drive through it going back and forth to Knoxville.
Well.
The state, I couldn't drive through fast enough. The school's great. Like the, because you're in the mountains kind of, right?
I was going to say, there's a lot of picturesque parts of Arkansas.
But 30 from here to Little Rock and then from Little Rock to Memphis on 40. I mean, they hadn't paved the road since the 60s.
So there's going to be a charity exhibition taking place at Dickey's Arena, which you call?
The best arena in DFW.
And it's going to be number 16 Arkansas against the Horned Frogs. It is going to be a charity exhibition. So we're going to talk to Coach Cal about that, NIL, and a bunch of other things here on the program.
Yeah, he's a good interview. He's always been a great somebody that you want to go check a quote out from.
All right, I think we have him. Coach Calipari joining us live on the D&M Leasing Hotline on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How's everything?
It's okay. I mean, the football team, it's fine.
Yeah, we got it. We got to get those Cowboys going. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. We got to get them going. and it's early. They still got a chance. They just got to go on a run.
How is John Calipari fitting into Arkansas?
Well, you won't believe this. This isn't the first time I've taken over a program. So you walk in, I need a Catholic church, I need a Dunkin' Donuts, and I need great facilities, and I'm fine. My wife grew up 2.5 hours north of us, near north of Springfield, Missouri. So she's got family here. And you know what? I'm like jacked about this. It's another place to, you know, make a mark, to get involved in the state where, you know, there are a lot of things that are needed. Where I always say, if you sit in the seat I'm in and all you do is watch tape, you kind of cheat the position. And you're not here. These are all rented seats, and you're not here long. But what do you do with it while you're here? We've taken the team to Pine Bluff. We've taken the team to Hot Springs. We've been up in Little Rock. We have a couple games in Dallas. Why is Dallas? Why are our graduates all go to Dallas? They got more Arkansas graduates in Dallas than they do our own state. I mean, what is going on? You know, so, but no, I'm SEC. We got like 10 teams in the top 25. It's crazy. You get people picking teams in our league to win the national title. So it's going to be a war. We played Kansas in an exhibition game. These people were 20,000 strong students, and it's 25th of October. And they're like in tents, 1,000 students in tents. So now we come down there. We're at the Dixie. We're playing TCU, and it's going to be a great challenge. And I'm telling our fans, come on. We're coming next week. We're playing Baylor in American Airlines. But this is – Jamie's done a great job at TCU, and they play hard. They're well-coached, and we're young. We've had two days of practice where I'm a little disappointed because – almost like, okay, you beat Kansas. They have their big guy. We have ours out too, but they have their main guy. And there's a little bit of arrogance. Mm. And then they see my fangs come out, the hair on the back of my neck grows. I mean, so the last couple of days I've been a little disappointed because of that. But good group of guys. They just don't know. They're immature.
Coach, I used to think of Parcells like this. Are you a guy who almost enjoys the building of it as much or more than when you're, you know, sitting on top for a long time? And like Kentucky, the expectation was title or bust. Do you enjoy the build of it as much or more than the other side?
Well, everywhere I've been, I've had to take over programs that hit a bump in the road. And so the building, you're talking about establishing a culture.
Yeah.
Because until you do that, your team can win games, but you're not going to be special. You're not going to be one of those teams. And what that means is they get one game doesn't make your season, like an exhibition game. We're not quite there yet. But the process of doing it, the grind, the daily stuff, the reminding kids of why they're doing, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, what's expected in this program. If you're drinking, smoking, clubbing, chasing, why would you come here? Why would you do that? Don't come here. You come here because you want to be prepared for the rest of your life, both on the court and off the court. How to create joy, how to be a great teammate, how to compete, how to take what you want, how to carve your own niche. When you're with other really good players, you know, I tell guys that I recruit, if you walk in the gym and you're by far the best player in the gym, you're in the wrong gym. Why would you want to be in that gym? Mm. You want to go in a gym where you call mom and dad and say, whoa, this is crazy. I just got dunked on. I got to come every day ready to go or I'm not making it. And that's where you learn to be a great teammate. That's where you learn to compete daily at a high level. Mm. That's where the games become an extension of practice. Where you really, really compete, the games are easier than practice. But that takes time to build. So I like both. I mean, we were at UMass. You know, every game on the road the last 4 to 5 years was sold out, and it was the game. Every game at Memphis the last 4 to 5 years was the game. When I went to Kentucky, they had struggled. They had a couple years where they were struggling. And all of a sudden, we have 7-8 years of ridiculousness. And I like that too. The path going there always seems to be the same. There's bumps in the road. They got to touch the fire because, you know, they think, well, I can do this without. Here's the other thing. There's no easy way to what they're trying to do. These kids, they want to be professional. They want to, what's the easiest way? That's not the question. The question is, what will I sacrifice that other people, players trying to do what I'm doing won't? Mm. When will I spend more time than they'll spend? That's the question. And so, you know, I want to help 25 to 30 more families before I'm done. And, you know, we've had – can I humble brag for a minute?
Sure.
So we've had 80 guys in the NBA. We've had 40, 50 first-round draft picks. We've had 30 lottery picks. We've had 15 top 10 picks. We've had 4 number one picks. If you come here, 70% of the players that have played for me the last 15, 70%, if you get a scholarship, 70% of those kids get drafted, and 73% of those get to max deals or multiple contracts in the NBA. But I don't have a magic wand. I'm not a magician. It's the culture. You won't change the culture here, but it can help change you. If you fight it, it takes longer. You know, I've had kids leave too early where they needed to just keep fighting. And P.J. Washington right there. Stay 2 years, and you look at him now. Now, how about this one? He's a star on a team of stars. Did you hear what I just said? He's in the best shape. He is a star on a team of stars. You know why? Whatever they ever asking him to do, he does. I told Nico, and I called him, and I said, man, you saved my man. You saved him. And you know what he said? Well, guess what? It's a two-way street. He's doing things for us. We need. He guards five positions. He fights. He got a toughness to him. And all of a sudden, he stayed 2 years. I've had guys stay 3 years. I've had guys stay 4 years. I've had guys leave too early. Now, they're still in the league, but it's a slug. It's a slugfest from that point.
John Calipari joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Arkansas, number one transfer class, number three freshman class. This is a recruiting hotbed, Texas. And that, I mean, I don't know that, you know, people think they think New York City or L.A. or wherever, but can you win without really recruiting the state of Texas? Like, how much time do you have to spend here?
I've been down there a few times already. You know, Julius Randle, you know, from down there. Kasem Wallace from down right near where you guys are. I think there's this kid named Tyrese. Let me think of his last name. Paul Maxey. All right, so we had the Harrison twins. I mean, I think the kid De'Aaron Fox wasn't bad either. He's doing all right. And you have, you know, I shouldn't get started on that because then I miss names and Jamal Murray. And I'm not naming, you know, Shea. Is Shea right down the road from you guys? Shea Gilgis? He's right there, right? Well, he's from Toronto, but he's in Oklahoma City now. But you know, yes, we want to recruit the best players from Texas. We want to recruit the best players from the state of Arkansas. If they're, I got Malik Monk from here. I mean, so yes, we and the bottom line is, as long as we stay about them, that they know they're. Like the last 2 days, I didn't feel bad or mad holding them accountable. It shows me where they are. And I tell these guys, you're going to make me a cheerleader or you're going to make me nasty at times. Now, I'm not cussing, swearing, throwing balls, but it's a high standard. Like, why are we running again? Just run. You'll know why you're running. Just get on the base. I mean, so, you know, I don't mind being that guy. I'd rather not. I'd rather be a cheerleader. But my job is not. Look, if you demand a lot, you'll get a lot. If you accept mediocrity, you're getting it every single time. And that's what I tell them. My will is stronger than your will. I'm not changing. This is about me helping you. You want to hurt yourself, I'm not going to let you. And so, and that's why, again, it's important for us that our fans – if you're going to our Mississippi football game, so you're leaving to come up here, I get it. But if you're not, come and see this game. Let these kids know that all of it is important. Dickey's Arena, I think it's tomorrow at 7. TCU, we're both trying to figure each other out. Our team, he's trying to figure out Jamie, who Jamie's a dear friend, was at Pittsburgh, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, so known him and unbelievable coach. But he's trying to figure out his team. I'm trying to figure out my team. We're playing quarters instead of 20 minutes, so we have more situations. At the end of a quarter, at the end of the half, at the end of the third quarter, we have more situations that we can throw at our kids. And for us, I want them to look organized and fight. That's it. And whatever happens in the game, it's an exhibition game. We'll learn about each other. We'll learn about our team. But let's look organized and let's fight. And then when people leave, I want them to say, no, that was fun. That was fun. And that meant my team was having fun.
Coach, you said you don't have a magic wand, but put one in your hand. What would the first tweak to NIL be if you think there needs to be a tweak?
Well, first of all, we're in this position because of us. This could have been back when they did the first case in L.A. If we didn't fight it and just rolled with it and gave the kids what they deserve, we wouldn't be here where we are right now. The Eddie O'Bannon case. So that being said, now we just need some guardrails. Right now, I want you all to understand, every player on every team is a free agent every year, and there's no salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
What did you just say? No, that's what I just said. Now, and then, you know, we coaches have to remember, we're talking these transfers and all this. If, and again, what I'm trying to do with my transfers, if you transfer here, I'm trying to put you in a better position that you were in the year before. That's it. I don't know what that means. It may mean you're a draftable player. It may mean you're a European player, but you're in a better position by coming here than you were the year before. But again, if they were all NBA players transferring around, they'd be in the NBA. So, you know, it's hurt freshmen. Coaches aren't recruiting as many freshmen, including me. I would usually recruit 6, 7, up to 8 freshmen. Yeah. I didn't care about playing freshmen. But the problem is, the teams we're playing against, their average age is 24. One kid looked in the stand. He had 2 kids. Hey, kids.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What the hell are we talking about? What are we talking about? So now I have a team of 19-year-olds. Last year we're 19-4. And it doesn't matter the name on the jerseys. The other kid's 25, 24, 23. Your kid's 18 or 9. I got 2 18-year-olds on this team, 18-year-olds. And so you look at it and say, this is costing a lot of American kids scholarships because coaches are saying, you know what, instead of taking a freshman, I'll just go take a transfer because I'm trying to win on Tuesday. I'm not worried about this, that, and now, we'll still take 4, maybe 5 freshmen, but they got to be ready to play. And I just think the guardrails, they got to figure it out whether they become employees. I don't know all the answers to that, but there's got to be some organization to what we're doing because it's not going to slow down unless we jump in there and make it slow down.
Coach, you know, you've got you're there at the Arkansas program, and Jerry Jones got a lot of attention this offseason when you got hired over there. People were wondering, ooh, what role did Jerry play? He's a big booster. He's an influential alumni. How much did Jerry Jones reach out and chat with you before and after?
Well, he and I go way back. I love Jerry Jones, and I know when the football teams, they lose, they hate him, and when they win, they love him, but you talk about an investment in Dallas. I went to the Star. Are you crazy? I mean, this is nuts what they've done. We've played games in the stadium. Mm-hmm. The bus could, you could have a 12 buses do circles around the, it's crazy. And so he, you know, when we go back, I came down when Bill Parcells was coaching the team, and I hung out with Bill Parcells for 2 days. And that's when I first met him. And he called me in the office, and he and I met, and we've kind of stayed in touch. So he was ecstatic that I was coming here. And I went down to see him and spent time with him. And I'm a big fan. Look, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so you know I like the Steelers. But I also like the Dallas Cowboys. Are you crazy? And they are America's team. And, yeah, they struggle like everybody else. There's more parity in all these sports than ever before. But what he's done for Dallas, you can't, like, put a measure on it. And, again, you know what's great about him? He's not afraid to be in the mix. Like, he ain't afraid to take bazooka shots. He'll stand up and say, shoot another. Shoot another.
Did you see him almost fire those guys the other week? Threaten those radio guys?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's when you just like, hey, look, you know what's great? I've said stuff that I look at and I say, why did I say that? But you still got to defend yourself for saying it. What are you going to do? You know, you can't just say, man, I screwed up real bad. But no, he, like, look, here's a guy that is passionate, mind always working. When I sat with him, that we were throwing things back and forth, and I'm like thinking, holy cow, this guy's mind doesn't stop. And, you know, but no, he and I've talked to him this season. I talked to him after they had won a game. I hate to call after a loss because that, you know, but I called him after they won a game, and he and I talked. And but he grew up here. He played football here. He loves the University of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Now, he really loves the Dallas Cowboys, but he loves Arkansas, too. So by me coming here and he and I having a prior relationship, yeah, he was ecstatic.
John, you're the absolute best, man. Thank you so much. All
hey,
time.
Dickie's Arena. Dickie's Arena, 7 p.m. Let's go. Let's get our fans there. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
John Calipari on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How far away are the Rangers from the new World Series champs? Next.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
Dodgers radio with the call. An all-time meltdown inning as the New York Yankees lose in five. This from OptiStats. Yankees are the only team to blow a five or more run lead, allow five or more unearned runs, commit three or more errors, commit catcher's interference, commit a balk, all in the same game, regular season or postseason, since 1913.
It's a long time ago.
A long time.
That's around the time the Titanic sunk. It's a long time ago, man. That was a wild, wild game. And it was really a kind of a wild series for it to be 4-1. For a 4-1 series, there was a lot of drama. Outside of, I guess, game three, the Dodgers really, really were in control. There was a lot of drama in all the other games for the most part. And it ended, look, the better team won. The Dodgers were the better team. They were the better team all throughout the year. You could make the case that the series could have very easily been tied at two going into last night because of the game one situation. But, I mean, this was going to end in game six anyway. They were not going to beat Yamamoto.
You keep saying that. I mean,
look, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Sports.
I mean, Garrett Cole wasn't supposed to lose last night.
Correct. And, you know, but like, look what it took to happen, right? But, you know, the Yankees didn't have a pitcher for game six. It was going to be Carlos Rodon, who's got a blister, and against Yamamoto. And they were going to, I think, wipe the floor with him. But again, yeah, it's baseball. I mean, anything can happen. Then you get to a game seven, and then all bets are off.
Although Yamamoto in the postseason, well, he had a 3.86 ERA.
not elite.
18 and two-thirds, 8 runs given up, 3 home runs, 6 walks, 15 strikeouts. So Freddie Freeman wins the World Series MVP after the Game 1 legendary moment, the Kirk Gibson-type moment. We heard Freddie praise his pops. He said, this moment is for him. He threw all the BP. He honed the swing. He's been the number one supporter along the way. And I sent over, I think, is this from ESPN, Pepe?
Yes, ESPN.
This is an ESPN piece and feature on Freddie Freeman talking about how he was almost parentless.
I'm just sitting in that room. The doctor comes into the room. I'm with my dad. And he goes, Mr. Freeman, you're lucky you came to the hospital tonight. Because if you didn't come in and you went to sleep, you would have most likely died in your sleep.
The doctor said I had congestive heart failure. Freddie actually saved my life that night.
I was this close to being parentless at 12 years old.
So that was Freddie Freeman with his emotional piece on ESPN. He wins the World Series MVP. How far away are the previous champs from the current champs? Texas Rangers and odds to repeat for next year. But before we get to the odds, Bobby, how far away do the Rangers feel from a championship-type club just 1 year removed? All right, we always do this after we watch the latest postseasons. Mm-hmm. Soon as the Cowboys get 12 wins, they lose early. We watch the rest of the game's Final Four, and we always go, oh, that's what the Final Four looks like. That's another level up. How are you feeling about the Rangers?
Yeah, it kind of reversed on you. So in 23 was supposed to just be the first year where they start showing mm-hmm. signs, and 24 was supposed to be the year that they were supposed to compete. And then it happened a year early, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, this is going to start things. And it was just so deflating to see them take a step back in so many different ways at the plate and with the pitching development and all of those different aspects. So, I mean, it feels really far away right now.
Okay, well, so how many teams do you think are ahead of them?
The Rangers?
In the odds. Yeah, how many teams have better odds than the Rangers next year?
I'm trying to go through division in my own mind. Like, at least 8. 10?
I was going to say 8.
8 on the dot. Dodgers at 4-1.
I meant 8, not 10.
Dodgers at 4-1. Yankees at 7-1. Braves at 7.5. Phillies at 10. Orioles at 12. Astros at 12. Mets at 12. Padres at 15. And then at 25-1, Cubs, Guards, Mariners.
The Cubs?
Rangers. I think the Cubs, they're going to bank on a big free eight. Maybe they're going to...
Chicago Soto, spends, too, yeah, as a town. They gamble.
Juan Soto is going to get baked into this with where he goes. Like, if he leaves the Yankees, they're going to drop from 7-1, right? But if he goes to Houston, they're going to rise. If he goes to the Cubs, they're going to shoot up. So you got to bake in some of these Soto maneuvers.
So there's 8 ahead of them, and then they're tied with 3 others.
With 3 others, yeah.
So that's also Vegas saying they could be 5th outside the top third of the league, though.
Sure. Yes. There's no doubt about that. But they're you know, you have, you know, Simeon and Seager and DeGrom coming back and you know, Evaldi, depending on what he does.
Yeah.
You've got a team that just won a championship. They have to protect for that.
Banking on a lot, though. It's still banking on a lot, saying Simeon, that wasn't regression last year, and that DeGrom is going to be there. I mean, it was obviously just coming back from the Tommy John, but mm-hmm. there was stuff with DeGrom's, you know, the issues with exit velocity, that he was getting hit really hard at the end of the year.
We got a hallmark moment yesterday at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco as Trayvon Diggs made up with Mike Leslie from Channel 8 with these nuts.
I got something for you, though.
Yeah. you saw some of these were sent to the station, too, right?
Yeah. What flavor you want? I got ranch. I got banana pudding.
I'll go ranch. I'm not a banana guy.
All right, here you go.
Which one's you?
I'll go with these.
Yeah?
Banana pudding.
You see, a fan sent some of these to the station, too, man.
Yeah. Cheers. All good.
My bad, man. If I misread the play, I appreciate you apologizing. I'm sorry, too.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Good.
Boy, Trayvon hit him with the Spice Adams laugh. Ah, ha, ha. Just it's a little... It's a much better photo than it is a video, because the video is a little, there's a little awkwardness with it, I feel like. But no, it's a PR win, slam dunk for Trayvon Diggs.
And by the way, Diggs, Deron Bland, Micah Parsons, and Zach Martin, along with Linval Joseph, all missed practice yesterday for injuries.
Yep. The injuries don't look like they've gotten any better. And this is a thing where it seems like we've been waiting on a lot of those names for 2-3 weeks, where it's like, isn't this supposed to be coming around eventually? So those lingering injuries, and then guys popping up on there, like you know, getting Zach Martin on there, and getting other guys who keep popping up with just little nitpicky injuries, it doesn't look like anything's getting any better in terms of your health right now.
All right, I got some other odds and numbers from Vegas. Bet Online, the current favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Kansas City.
It is Kansas City. It's 17-4. Who's second?
Detroit.
They're tied with someone.
They're tied with Baltimore.
Good job. 13-2.
Which one? Because we said two different names.
I said Buffalo. He said Baltimore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Baltimore. Baltimore's tied with Detroit.
Three lost Ravens, huh?
Next.
Buffalo.
No. San Francisco.
Bobby on fire. Did you read my email?
Nope.
San Francisco. Then Buffalo. Then I'll just go in order. Green Bay and Houston are 14-1. Philly is also 14-1. The Vikings are 18-1. The Commanders are 25-1. The Falcons are 28-1. Then Pittsburgh, Cincy, Chargers, Bears, and the Cowboys tied at 55-1 to win it all. NFC East, in terms of the favorite, the Eagles are -125. The Commanders are +125 to win the division. The Cowboys are 9-1.
Oh, you like that value?
9-1 is pretty good. I mean, like, they're for a quarterback that has dominated the division when he plays them. That's pretty good number. That's a pretty good number right there.
I thought that was an interesting quote from Calvin, because Calvin Watkins walked around the locker, talked to people outside of just the press availability after the game, and Calvin came out of there and tweeted that one of the senses he got, though, was still upbeat from the Cowboys locker, because they feel like, well, we still got the division games pretty much ahead of us.
Yeah,
and that we don't have to worry.
I could not believe. I was refreshingly surprised how upbeat Micah and Diggs were on their podcast. It was like two, and I'm not saying this to make fun of them, it was like two championship veterans being like, wait, look, we've seen this before. It was like Kobe and Shaq being like, this is how it's going to go. We're banged up. We got these teams. We're going to be good to go. I would have made a play there. They would have made adjustments. That's what it is. Like a championship light switch mentality. And I was really, really surprised by it.
Is that not sweating? And is that being steady? Or is that you're ignorant to the issues you have?
I'm not, you know, ignorant. It's a harsh word. More delusional, yeah.
Is delusional better than ignorant?
Yeah.
I feel like ignorant is unaware of what's there.
Delusional is better than ignorant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in a vocab fight. You could save that for Jared Sandler.
Oh, man.
I think I'd rather be delusional than, I mean, ignorance is a harsh word.
It's a very harsh word. I love being, like, I like being in my own world anyway. Real quick, you talking about betting and stuff. Let me give you a little degenerate pick here real quick.
Yep.
Right now, you can get Colorado to win the Big 12 at 7-1. Okay.
Colorado win the Big 12 at 7-1.
Their schedule is so easy the rest of the way. They're going to wind up winning all four of the games that they have left. And Iowa State and BYU are at the top. You got to have K-State lose a game, though. And K-State at least lose another one. But they got a chance.
Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece. Are we joined by Tom Yemansky after what happened last night? Crosstalk with the fellas after this. Let's crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby. I just saw your little poll question. Let's ask Mr. SAT over here, Kevin Hagelin. Which is a harsher description of someone who is not speaking realistically? Is the word ignorant or delusional harsher?
Ignorant.
That's what I think, too.
Thank you. Clean sweep.
Oh.
Shut it down.
You guys were all spoiled by the public school system.
You're
so
stupid.
What's that?
Like, ignorant.
There's
is
a
like
negative connotation to ignorance that isn't like really rooted in the word, though.
So you're trying to say ignorant means you just don't know.
Unaware, you're basically.
Just unaware.
It seems you've been co-opted into something.
Whereas delusional sounds like you don't even, you can't even be in reality.
The polls,
that sounds,
however,
more like a mental condition.
Yeah,
to me.
But the polls currently say that it's 62% delusional.
Yeah, 59%. Now 55-44 delusional.
Oh, my God.
So you think delusional or ignorant?
Which delusional is harsher.
Okay, well, I just voted for you because I don't even know what I said.
What? You gave it happened like 15 seconds ago.
Are you saying when people vote for the president, they're voting for delusional or ignorant? That's the... And that's where you're getting the
holy
numbers
crap.
From?
That's pretty...
Tell Kevin and Corey what your outfit's going to be today.
My Halloween costume?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a trash bag and cut a hole in it. I'm going to be garbage.
Walk around as garbage.
That is not bad. It's weird that comment doesn't seem to have gained anywhere near as much traction as the comedian his rally.
It seems like an unnecessary time to do it. To say that. To say the garbage thing.
Because it wasn't on purpose. Biden said it.
I know. That seems like a bad time to do it.
It wasn't designed.
It seems like a bad time.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a bad time.
Don't let that guy talk right now is what I would be saying to everybody.
Yeah. Obama's like, I'm doing all this damn extra work.
Yeah, all this extra work.
And you're like, all of them are garbage. Yeah, you're all like, the garbage. On, man.
I'm cleaning up the house and you're just sitting here throwing toys everywhere.
Yes. What is coming up on the program, Corey?
Right out of the gate. If you're a public figure, is it better to just do most things in public? We get into the Trayvon Diggs thing just a little bit there. And then John Machota joins us at 10:20 today. And Kyle Yeomans for the C Block.
Did you guys figure out your dates on the Rangers and everything? Mike, with your World Series champ shirt on, it's
tomorrow.
1 year ago?
What? Tomorrow, yeah, because the candy was on sale when I came up here.
Remember that moment?
What? So tomorrow the candy goes 50% off to 70% off that they didn't sell.
Great. Just what I need.
And so I bought five bags of candy and started opening them up.
All of your, Jared is just pouring his heart out and Mike's
crying.
Like
tears. You know what?
He didn't even turn his mic off. He just left it on.
We do have that audio.
All right.
Eric has been a part of this organization for 45 years.
Yep.
And he has experienced way more losing than winning. And let's be honest here. Eric's not 35 years old. And I don't know that I communicated this with him a ton, maybe once or twice. I know that he thought it. I know Matt thought it. And I know I thought it. It killed me. It killed me to think that Eric would never have this moment.
Oh man, is that it?
That is freaking amazing.
I didn't know the same thing. I don't.
It's even better.
Obviously, it's not my turn to talk.
Yeah.
It's even better on the fan cam when you see Mike is not even like he's like looking at you. He's got like handfuls of popcorn.
Was I eating?
Looking at what?
You were opening the popcorn. You had bags of candy, but you were opening the popcorn and crunch.
We would all agree, though. Not even
it
close.
It killed me.
To the craziest fan cam moment that night. That belongs to Eric.
Yeah, that was the next day when Eric's waving the towel. When somebody called in, said something rather offensive, and Eric, not listening, looked like he was cheering it on.
Go get Rangers.
I don't even know what was said or what you're talking about.
You cannot repeat it. That's for damn sure.
He was cheering with a towel.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, how many instructional videos are you going to make off the fifth inning last night?
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was sad because really last night, look, the Dodgers are the champs. They won. They won the series. But really last night, the Yankees lost. The Dodgers didn't win. If you give any team three free base runners and make them get six outs, like, okay, we're going to, like, hey, stay on the mound, whoever it is. Name the best pitcher in the history of baseball, whoever, Greg Maddux. Hey, Greg, what we're going to do now, maybe not to start the inning, but we're going to randomly, when that person gets out, we're going to say, no, he's not out. He gets to stay on first base, and it doesn't count as an out. And then you do it again, and you're like, no, that guy doesn't count as an out. Everybody advances, and the hitter who got out gets to stay on the base. No, this one doesn't count either. He's going to get to stay on the base, and you have to get six outs in an inning against a good offensive team. Even a bad offensive team, they're going to at least score two in that situation.
Yeah, sack fly, whatever, even a double play.
Yeah, so that unfortunately, they lost the game by giving up five free runs.
What's your order of egregiousness on those three? Does it go Judge?
Judge is the most routine of the. I mean, that wasn't a difficult. I mean, now it may have knuckled.
I think it was just Judge's one.
That's easily number one. The Volpe one, I mean, he was rushed because Kike was close to third, so that was the least egregious. And then
I want to ask you a question about the Cole first base thing.
That was just a mental lapse.
If you go back and look at the play, right, the first baseman is backing up, okay, and not charging. And it wasn't the hardest.
Smart not to charge it. He hit it off the end of the bat, and the ball takes a shot to second base. You can see the ball take a different route. And his job is, I have a guy covering. That's your job as a pitcher. I'm not going to take the risk on charging a ball that has side spin.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I catch it. I have an easy flip here. Yes, Mookie Betts can run. As my dad taught me, and this is the case, it doesn't matter if Usain Bolt hit the ball. I can beat him. Any human being that has to run 55 feet to 90 feet, they can't beat you. Now, you make it, hey, I give you a 25-yard start and we're running 100 yards, maybe Bolt will catch me and pass me like the thing they do in Atlanta. But on such a short distance, no human being who's a pitcher should lose the race to a guy who swung a bat and now has to start his run.
Because if you freeze frame it, Choppy froze it, right? And it makes Rizzo look terrible to where he didn't complete the play with where running.
Mookie.
You think he should have just sprinted
the ball
the
is right there. He is 85 feet away.
But that's not taking into account the spin.
But the spin.
And look at Garrett Cole where he's at compared to Mookie. He's going to win the race.
Right. Yeah. But and Cole said he took a bad angle that he ran towards the ball.
He did. Garrett Cole, are you saying? Garrett Cole. I do not agree with banana routes to first base. When you're in the major leagues, and I'll go back in my time, Shane Victorino, Jimmy Rollins, these guys that can run are getting down first base. And I was a crappy runner. I was like a 7.160, which is below average. Those guys are like 6.3, 6.5. I have to go directly to the base. What you do is as you get to the base, you kind of have to slow down. And if you don't, just cross it as fast as you can. Get out of the way. Don't stay in the line. But you can push off of the base. As you get there, you're going to slow down a hair. And then just take your right foot as it hits the base and push hard into fair territory.
Banana routes are fine when you're 10 years old.
Right? What's that?
Banana routes are fine when you're 10 years old.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
But in the major leagues, go directly to the base.
But how quickly can Rizzo tell that there's spin on it?
Right. Like, pretty quick.
Okay. But it hits the ground once, then twice.
That's what, I mean, if you think about it, that's how outfielders judge quickly if the ball's hit hard or soft or whatever. They're seeing the swing. They're seeing the sound. Sometimes you can't hear the sound, let's say in a World Series game, but in most games you can. And then he sees that it's off the end of the bat, and he sees that it's not spinning backspin. I mean, their eyes are trained so well that they can tell in 0.1 second if it's a curveball or a fastball.
Yeah, bat hops are different. Bat hops are different than that.
And also with that, like, he would know, like, by how hard it is, what hit, whether or not it's got the side spin. Because if a regular ground ball
going to go faster
on a full swing is going to get on him at first base really quick.
In fact, exit velocity is always harder on ground balls. I won't say always harder, but I was taught this by Dave Raymond. If you look at exit velocity, it's weird, but when the guys hit into the ground, the ball actually is hit harder and you just hit it like almost, not saying straight down, but those balls get to you pretty quick in the major leagues, and that one wasn't, and that one had weird English. And if Garrett Cole, the thing is he did the right thing. Immediately he's going to cover, and then he just quit on it. I will say this. It shows how tired he was in that inning. That was going to be the fifth out of the inning, and he was tired, and he quit on running. He had to run another, I don't know, 35 feet, and he quit on it.
That was, by the way, 49.8 miles an hour exit velocity on that hit. So,
all right. So tomorrow's the anniversary.
Yeah.
Of when the Rangers actually won it. Let's hear the heartbreaking memory one more time, Pepe. Let's just go ahead and
for Eric Nadeau.
Relive it back.
No, we'll wait.
It's emotional. If you cry, I understand.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know that I communicated this with him a ton, maybe once or twice. I know that he thought it, I know Matt thought it, and I know I thought it. It killed me. It killed me to think that Eric would never have this moment.
It's just the way so he says it.
So just, there's such a Seinfeldian thing there of just like no empathy.
That's Costanza.
He's a legend, yeah, stopping for the junior men. Yeah, junior men. He's in the hospital.
All right, let's have the phone.
Counter was right there.
Yeah. And what was it you were eating?
Skinny Pop. I really like that stuff.
Hey. We're back tomorrow morning. Mike McCarthy joins the show. The KMC Masterpiece is next.
It's Cowboys time.
105.
Let's go.
3 the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.